This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Kale and Company News Live this Friday morning, September 20th. We are sponsored by Indeed. It's right now, it is 65 degrees, heating up to 84 degrees and beautiful sunny day. We'll get to the forecast momentarily. Heads up, there are reported to be two separate crashes on I-76 westbound. Major traffic delays, not coming into the city. This is westbound, outbound. But still, we're looking at, and I don't see a gaper delay on the traffic cams as I look at all of them for eastbound traffic, but just a heads up on that one. Also in the news, Philadelphia police say they are searching for a man wanted for being known as a Philadelphia cat killer. So they want help, police seeking your help in identifying this guy that they are accusing of killing a cat, and they believe he's responsible for luring the kitty cat. They've released images, still shot images from what looks to be one of those doorbell cameras, but luring the animal into some kind of a trap and then setting it on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
This is really nasty. Happened on Rittner Street. This is South Philadelphia. And, you know, you can look online. There were all these pictures of this guy, but they're asking anybody, please, if you know who this individual is, he's facing criminal charges, as they say that he lured the cat. They're not showing the whole thing because it's nasty, but luring the cat into this big box and then setting the thing on fire. So they're asking, call police 215-686-TIPS.
Isn't that how a lot of like serial mass murderers kind of start their career?
Remember that?
Where they harm animals first and then they transition
it's
to
nasty.
Humans.
If you're convicted or whatever the word is, if you're caught killing an animal like that, you should get the electric chair because there's no saving you.
Yeah.
There's no saving you. There's no rehab. Excuse me. Getting caught up in my words here. There's no rehab.
Yeah.
Right to the electric chair.
Yeah. I mean,
that's horrifying.
The recidivism rate for these people is off the charts.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't have word of whose cat this was. I can only imagine that, to see that on video like that, but so we don't have that person speaking out, but obviously it's a bigger story, and so police want to catch this guy. So please take a look and call them at the tip line I gave. We have hundreds of Bucks County workers are planning a strike today, and these are all union Local 668. So workers have been working without a contract for nearly a year, and they feel that this is simply necessary. 300 workers putting this word out that they will strike outside the Bucks County Courthouse today and rally then around lunchtime. So I don't know what time this morning within the hour they'll be out there. But these workers, these union workers, include Children and Youth Services, the Area Agency on Aging, IT Department, as well as Mental Health, Drug and Alcohol Support. The list goes on and on. But the union says that Bucks County has insisted on large cuts to the workers' health benefits, And they say that they can't, they need to, you know, they need to have these benefits. And they say they've sacrificed a lot during the pandemic. Among them, they were workers who went to work every day and couldn't Zoom it in, that sort of thing. So that's their argument there. So just a heads up that if you're in Bucks, this will certainly, you know, this may affect the administrative ability to get these, you know, if you're planning on going to any of the administrative buildings, it may slow things down a bit.
Well, we got a lot going on in these collar counties these days.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of, you know, a lot of unrest here. So we'll watch for that. We've talked about the fact that a jury has found that Sesame Place in Bucks County is not liable after the mother of two little black girls, African-American girls, claimed that a character there at Sesame Place appeared to snub them. This happened in 2022. It made national news. It made international news. But lawyers representing families, and there were multiple families. And as Greg pointed out, Jesse Jackson at one point got involved. And so there were multiple families claiming this. This has to do with the local case here in our area at Sesame Place in Bucks County. But lawyers had claimed that the children had been discriminated against by the Parks costume characters, and they were in the big line in court was by the one of the attorneys that he had said, "Big Bird, you're a racist." That was the line from the attorney.
Big Bird is racist.
Big Bird, you're a racist.
How can you even, I'm trying to just think about this from a common sense standpoint. You're at Sesame Place, and there's an individual wearing a costume, and you feel like he or she ignored you. I don't. I can't even tell when those when they're wearing the goofy hats, the goofy heads. I don't even know who the hell they're looking at, to be honest. So I would never arrive at the conclusion that this person ignored me intentionally, and then I took it to the point where I decided to sue.
Last time I was there, when we took our son there, he was scared to death of all the people in costumes. He would run away from them.
Yeah. So, well, most youngsters are like that.
I could actually sue and say that they try, like my son tried to go up to them, but they said something offensive to him and he ran away.
Yes, your kid was traumatized. He's never recovered, and you're seeking damages.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, Sesame Place came out and talked about the young people because they're all young people playing these characters.
Yeah.
And that's just it. We never actually knew who played the Rosita. And that's the other thing. It was Rosita, who's the aqua blue Hispanic character. But that's a little, if you've been to Sesame Place, and Greg, you know this, Rosita is one of the smallest.
Yes.
Yep. Right?
Yep. Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
So you're accusing some, you know, probably 16-year-old petite, probably a girl.
My question is that isn't there, like, can't the person who's in that costume countersue now for being
defamation?
Yeah. I mean, look, this, I don't know if they ever gave the person's name. I'm assuming they didn't. But still, like, everybody thinks that that person was a racist.
Mm-hmm. I also think, too, if you're going to be one of these characters, like Dawn was just saying, 16 years old, they're probably all youngsters, right? Like, I mean, think about if you're like a 52-year-old dude dressed up as Big Bird. I don't know. I'd like to maybe check your hard drive and your laptop and see what you got going on.
I agree.
Just me.
Profiling is there for a reason, my friend. Yeah. You're correct.
But to your point, they put some of these, the people who played the character, and some of them are, you know, like teenage girls and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So they put them on the stand and said, "Are you a racist?" Mm. And so you have some, you know, petite teenage girl, and you know, if you look at the transcripts of the court, she's like, "Oh, no," you know. And so, if you're a juror, you're thinking, "Absolutely not."
Right.
And they're not identifying. I don't know the ethnicity of some of these individuals, but that probably played into this. That they're maybe, you know, reportedly a diversified group who look for a summer job. Remember, Daniel Valdez said, "I don't think." Did he work at Sesame Place, or where did he work?
I could see him being a Sesame Street character.
No,
millennial.
Bill Kornfeld, who's here many moons ago, worked at Sesame Place.
Yeah.
Daniel Valdez worked at Dorney Park,
right,
I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
I could see Valdez being the count.
By the way, can I just break into your news with some news of my own?
What?
Dawn Stanzlin.
You having another baby?
No.
You're leaving the station?
No. Remember a few months ago when I went on my rant about how much I hate the Kennedys?
Oh, of course.
I said they're scumbags.
Oh, I.
So, Olivia Nuzzi, from New York Magazine is on leave because she had an affair with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Bobby? So, RFK Jr.?
Yeah, yeah. So remember when everybody says, well, RFK Jr.'s on our team now, so we like him and we'll pretend he's not a creep. Yeah, he's a creep. From New York Magazine, recently our Washington correspondent, Olivia Nuzzi, acknowledged to the magazine's editors that she had engaged in a personal relationship with a former subject relevant to the 2024 campaign while she was reporting on the campaign, a violation of the magazine's standards around conflicts of interest and disclosures, a spokesperson for New York Magazine said in a statement. Had the magazine been aware of this relationship, she would not have continued to cover the presidential campaign, the spokesperson added. An internal review of her published work has found no inaccuracies nor evidence of bias. She is currently on leave from the magazine, and the magazine is conducting a more thorough third-party review. We regret the violation of our readers' trust.
Here's the statement. Mr. Kennedy only met Olivia Nuzzi once in his life for an interview she requested, which yielded a hit piece. A spokesperson for the presidential candidate told the media newsletter Status, which first reported on the alleged relationship. Kennedy, who is 70, partially suspended, you know the rest of the story, but she's 31.
Yep.
He's 70. his campaign is putting out that he met her once in his life, never had an affair,
I swear I never did.
Hey, if they met more than once, they're, find out.
Why would she acknowledge it? Why would she put herself, you know what I mean? That just makes no sense.
Well, I just assumed he's a scumbag, but all I've ever cared about is that 1 or 2 or 3% that he might bring to Trump. That's all I need him for.
He's a Kennedy. His last name, did he have an affair? What's his last name? Kennedy? Yes, he did. End of story. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
I love that you give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm just reporting both sides. So, who do you know? I have no idea. Is she a crazy chick who wants attention, or is he a scumbag and predator? Because
he's a Kennedy, of course he's a scumbag.
Well, you can't. I'm just giving both sides of the story. No reaction from Cheryl Hines, his celebrity wife.
Also, a difference between being a scumbag and a predator. I mean, not to mince words, but you could be a scumbag and not be a predator. Yeah,
Lisa McHale writes, she had a friendship with him, not an affair, according to the woman. The headline is Olivia Nuzzi on leave from New York Magazine after a romantic relationship with RFK Jr. So there you go.
Yeah, they got it on.
Of course they did. She's a 31-year-old blonde who's attractive, and he's a Kennedy. Of course he did.
He's carved out of stone. It's chiseled like he's
31. Can you
imagine one of
71? She's 31.
I guess the voice wasn't a turnoff.
Oh, can you imagine? Does she have daddy issues? Oh God!
Here we go.
71. She's 31.
And apparently, this 31-year-old found something very enticing about the 70-year-old.
It burns his old droopy nuts.
Jimmy Fallon would say that Bobby has.
It burns his old droopy nuts.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you, Jimmy. By the way, Jimmy Fallon, weeknight 7 to 10, starting Monday, October 7th.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So, again, we don't know both sides. Yes, Dawn, you reported both sides. I appreciate you did that. I'm not,
He's denying it, just like the lieutenant governor of North Carolina.
Even though his email was found on Ashley Madison. Oh, how did that get there? I don't know. These guys, man. Oh, God.
How do all these people have time? First of all, time and energy.
Yeah.
Like, we're so busy here. We're lucky to get, 4 or 5 hours sleep. I just think all these individuals, wow, they have a lot of time on their hands.
This is why I suggest they all start taking a daily nap.
Because it keeps you out of trouble? Is that it?
I mean, I need the nap for other reasons, but I can't get in trouble if I'm unconscious.
Road Warrior is saying that she's claiming it's all online, nothing physical.
Oh.
Oh, so it was like phone hoo-ha or online hoo-ha? Yeah. Like a Zoom?
Yeah.
Getting on the Zoom?
You imagine hearing Kennedy's voice on a Zoom while his pants are down?
Hey, I'm right now. I'm fully naked.
That's pretty good.
What would you like me to do to you? Sorry. I don't care. Yeah, everybody's like, you're making fun of his affliction. He's a creep. He's always been a creep. He always will be a creep. The Kennedys are creeps. Thank you.
Wow.
Michael Pelka says they were allegedly sexting.
Yeah.
Sexting. Well, if they were sexting, then obviously they can, they have receipts.
Yeah.
Because she probably screenshotted everything.
I just don't know. I understand, giving both sides to this. I just don't understand why she would resign or be put on leave and admit to it if it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, speaking of those types of things, we'll get to Nancy Mace later coming on with
Michael Eric Dyson.
Yeah, with the CNN.
Well,
guy.
Michael Eric Dyson, and boy, we're all over the place at 7:17. It's my fault for breaking in with this.
Yeah.
The Michael Eric Dyson actually responded to her claim.
Uh huh.
And the way he responded was like, dude, you're making your case worse. So we'll play all of that coming up.
By the way, we have to talk about this fantasy football situation. A Philadelphia man facing charges now as his online beef has resulted in an international investigation as well as federal charges he's facing after he allegedly falsely accused a fellow player of intending to carry out violent attacks. This according to prosecutors. So this 25-year-old Matthew Gabriel of Philadelphia pleading guilty to two counts of interstate and foreign communication of threats after prosecutors say that he gave these false tips to police in the United States and overseas, claiming that his rival, this is over fantasy football.
Hey, Don, this is serious stuff.
I was
here,
just
okay?
Say,
you ever see? You want to see my fantasy group text?
You're barking up the wrong tree, Don, with this one.
It's fantasy football,
oh, boy,
guys.
Here we go.
I've lost friendships over this stinking thing.
Oh, my goodness. So he claimed that his rival, because I don't know which quarterback, like maybe the other guy got the better quarterback in the fantasy football, was planning a bombing and mass shooting.
Man,
and he reported the rival to the U.S. Justice Department.
That's not funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
So this all began when Gabriel, and he's confessed to this, he pleaded guilty. So he made the first false threat after an online disagreement with a member of his Yes Fantasy Football chat group. This according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. I want to know what player so-and-so got in the whole thing, but after learning the member would be studying abroad in Norway, Gabriel submitted an anonymous tip to the Norwegian Police Security Service, and they then began to investigate this as a threat to national security.
You either trade me Aaron Rodgers or I will blow up your house, and I'm not joking.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
So once they realized that, no, this kid studying abroad is like, what? You know, so they fully invested. It's now an international incident. So this guy now, he's pleading guilty and he faces sentencing.
Okay.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dr. Phelan McGroin.
I wonder if Dr. Phelan McGroin has ever studied abroad in Norway.
Says that this woman accusing Kennedy is just looking for her 15 minutes of fame. Okay, but she's never going to get a job in journalism again. Why would she do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it just absolutely makes no sense.
Man, we got a lot of Bobby defenders out there.
They said a push-up contest between Stalker and Kennedy. Yeah, he could probably beat me in a push-up contest. You know why? Because I work for a living. I don't have Kennedy money that I can lay around and jet ski and Falcon or whatever the hell he does, pick up bears and get bear meat. I needed to get bear meat so we could eat it.
He does have a good body.
I work for a living.
He's very fit.
You do a good Bobby.
He does
him.
A great
I
RFK Jr.
God, I hate him.
Hate has no home here, Gregory.
I love hate.
Trying to find my Kennedy drops, but somebody moved them.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have to find, you know, I'm going to have to bomb that person's house now.
Call the Norwegians.
It's unbelievable.
Ole, ole, we got to investigate these football players. We've got our Phils. I can't even believe this. They lost to the Mets 10-6 last night. Game two is tonight in New York, 7:10 p.m. Greg Stocker. Looks like a genius predicting. What did you predict Saturday night?
Saturday, I said they were gonna clinch a playoff spot.
So
don't stroke his ego anymore. he just you know, he went on a Kennedy rant. Elvis rant will be coming up the next hour.
Enough of me. Sorry.
So we are sponsored this morning by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution really helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Just schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. Thank you, Indeed, for sponsoring our news and our weather. Quickly, 84 degrees today, a beautiful sunny day. We're going to have a lot of sunshine this weekend. We're looking in the 80s over the weekend, so a great day for a great weekend for football, picnics, whatever you want to do. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet in just about 25 minutes before we get there. Two pit stops along the way. Mark Robinson, sir, we have to have a conversation. And also, Zach Bryan, dude, seriously. Find your you-know-what and return him to that part of the region of your body, all right?
Oh, boy.
All right? Enough already.
Yeah.
I got to go both sides here. Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, this is the last call. I'm going to give this the last call. This is Sunday. This offer ends. So if you haven't done this yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. I've been talking about it for a month. All FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of the NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Have you not done this yet? Place a $5 bet on the Eagles game on Sunday. You don't want to bet on them winning. I do believe they'll win, but just bet on a Saquon Barkley anytime touchdown. I know he dropped that pass, but he's going to make up for it this weekend. Trust me. Then with YouTube, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD. 21 and over, present in PA. A full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sunday, this offer ends. What are you waiting for? Do it now. FanDuel.com/Greg. Go.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
According to the Carolina Journal as well as CNN's K-File, let me just read you a couple of things here. And by the way, listening discretion advised when we get to some of the quotes. If you got kids in the car, you might want to tune it down or tell them to put their earbuds in and watch something on YouTube for a little bit. You know, that's what good parents do, right? Just give their kids an iPad and say, go get lost, Johnny. Watch YouTube for 9 hours while Daddy watches football. So according to the Carolina Journal, not that I would ever do that,
he's,
you know.
Projecting, Dawn.
Active dance dad, right? Over here, right? According to the Carolina Journal, quote, Robinson is under pressure from staff and members of the Trump campaign to withdraw from the governor's race due to the nature of the story, which they say involves activity on adult websites in the 2000s. But, quote, Robinson has resisted withdrawing and privately denies the story. Trump endorsed Robinson at a rally in March, during which he called the lieutenant governor, quote, Martin Luther King Jr. on steroids, quote, better than Martin Luther King, and even, quote, Martin Luther King times two. So what are we talking about? What are the allegations? What is the reporting that is being shared? CNN's K-File investigation found the following, which, by the way, CNN's K-File has been very, very accurate lately with outing Democrats and Kamala Harris. A litany of lies. So for whatever that's worth, they've been very fair and very accurate in their findings. And they find the following. Mark Robinson, this is from CNN directly. The controversial and socially conservative Republican nominee for governor of Carolina made a series of inflammatory comments on a pornography website's message board more than a decade ago, in which he referred to himself as a, quote, black Nazi and expressed support for reinstating slavery. Despite a recent history of anti-transgender rhetoric, Robinson said he enjoyed watching transgender pornography, a review of archive messages found in which he also referred to himself, quote, as a perv. The comments, which Robinson denies making, predate his entry into politics and current stint as the lieutenant gov of North Carolina. They were made under a username that CNN was able to identify as Robinson by matching a litany of biographical details and shared email address between the two. He apparently goes into all of these things during what I would just call the first Obama term. I always bring it back to political terms. 2008 to 2012, where he was on a pornographic website called Nude Africa that includes a message board. The comments were made under a username of Mini Soldier, a moniker that Robinson has used frequently online. CNN is reporting only a small portion of Robinson's comments and websites, given their graphic nature. He goes on to talk about apparently how he was a peeping Tom when he was in his teen years, which, you know, you're a teenager. Like, I'm not defending it, but to me, you know, when you're 18, you know, clean slate. So I give him a little bit of a pass there, even though that's creepy. You know, kids do weird things. But the stuff that really stands out. In other comments on Nude Africa, Robinson discussed his affinity for transgender pornography, saying, quote, "I'd like watching tranny on girl porn."
That's a quote. You're not saying that. That's
correct. These are all quotes. Yeah. "That's bleeping hot. It takes the man out while leaving the man in. And yeah, I'm a perv, too." So, again, like I said, adult ears for this commentary here.
Mommy, what's a perv? Daddy, what's man in, man out?
Daddy, how are babies made? In an interview with CNN on Thursday, Robinson repeatedly denied that he made the comments on Nude Africa and says, "We are not getting out of the race. There are people who are counting on us to win the race."
We have a little bit of that. Do you want to hear his
sure.
His
he released it on video, right?
Yeah, well, he actually talked very briefly to Andrew Kaczynski, who is, you know, the K-file from CNN.
Did he have CNN address him as Mini Soldier?
Phil, can you play cut 17?
Dude, this is not us. These are not our words, and this is not anything that is characteristic of me, nor has it ever been. The people here of North Carolina know I have been completely transparent about my history, all the warts. We put them all out. We let folks know about it. But the folks here also know my character. They know who I am. They know my voice, so to speak. This is not my voice. This is not things that we would ever say or even think. And so absolutely we do.
How do you explain all of the matching details on this profile? The profile on Nude Africa lists your full name as Mark Robinson. The email listed on the account is an email that you have used elsewhere on the internet, including with your photo. You have used that name, Mini Soldier, on multiple social media accounts, including Twitter, Pinterest, Black Planet, and YouTube. How can you deny, with all of these matching details, that this is you?
Look, I'm not going to get into the minutia of how somebody manufactured this, these salacious tabloid lies, but I can tell you this. There's been over $1 million spent on me through AI by a billionaire son who's bound and determined to destroy me. The things that people can do with the internet now is incredible. But what I can tell you is this. Again, these are not my words. This is simply tabloid trash being used as a distraction from the substantive issues that the people of this state are facing. We have addressed it. We have said it's not true. And we wish we could move on and get busy with the business of the people of the state.
Okay, well, these posts, they do take place over a five-year period from 2008 to 2013. You mentioned AI. Are you saying that somebody was somehow manufacturing biographical details to exactly match you using your username?
Look, I have no idea how this was done. I have absolutely no idea how it was done. And I have 5 weeks left in this campaign. To focus on the substantive issues that North Carolinians face. I do not have time for tabloid trash.
So I'll say a couple of things. One, I do think, you know, when these are allegations and it's a report, I think you have to, at that point, say, look, especially in this day and age, whether it's Democrat or Republican, the amount of stuff on social media that is altered, manipulated. We just did a big take yesterday on this with Gavin Newsom, with, you know, the memes and you know, the election interference. So it is very difficult to tell in this day and age what is true and what is not. So screenshots can be altered, AI manipulated. But where I think the smoking gun is, and why I think he is probably guilty of this, is the email address that is used. Now, it doesn't mean email addresses can't be hacked. They certainly can. But whether or not this is true or not is almost irrelevant to me from the standpoint of what the media will do and how they will portray this. And this is not what Donald Trump, and why I think this is also true, is that the Trump campaign is telling him to get out of the race. I gave you that quote in the beginning. It's not just, you know, other people locally. I mean, so if you're Trump and you come out endorse him and this comes out, you don't need this. So my question question would be, how much vetting was done of this guy before you put the MAGA stamp of approval for an endorsement on him? Because here's what they want to do. They want to take this. They want to take the Laura Loomer stuff that is out there, and they want to run with that. Because as I have said, it's all about having Trump in the news. That is the goal and objective of the Harris campaign, and to keep Kamala Harris out of the news. They want to run against Trump, not on Kamala, if that makes sense. And when you have people like Mark Robinson in a swing state, which, and let's think about the big implications here, the election, 7 swing states. The only one that Trump has won twice in 16 and 20 is North Carolina. The ones that he won in 16, he lost in 2020. And I've said the path of least resistance for Trump to win this election, North Carolina, which should be the easiest of the 7, followed by Georgia and Pennsylvania. And now you have this with a guy running for governor in North Carolina, on top of the Loomer stuff that is out there. You just can't, you know, we hear about this word toxicity, right? We don't want to be surrounded by toxic personalities and people with bad reputations. You can't surround yourself with people like this. If this is true, and then the question becomes, where was the dropping of the ball with the vetting? I don't care about what he did when he was 14. But a lot of this stuff now, as an adult in the last 15, 16 years, not a good look for Trump. It does nothing to help his cause and his chances of winning.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, you referred to the opposition research, the oppo research. So the deal is that CNN drops the story right before the deadline, which was midnight last night, for Robinson to be taken off the ballot. So I was looking at, he's not going to resign. He's made that obvious. But what does North Carolina state law say? So apparently, their law says if a candidate dies, resigns, or for any other reason becomes, quote, disqualified or ineligible, they could nominate a replacement. But there are all kinds of, you know, laws that who can't replace the individual, but the name is going to be his name on the ballot.
Even before this whole thing came out, he was 10 points down. He's not going to win anyway.
He's done
so
now.
The whole thing with this oppo research and stuff like that, like, he's not going to win. So I before this came out.
Right.
So I don't understand this whole thing with, you know, look, yes, of course, this is AI and, you know, you can do anything these days. But, like, this is a bad, and I don't love them trying to tie this to Trump either, because it, like, look, you know, Trump is just endorsing, like, should he vet people better or should his team vet people better? Maybe, but,
well,
like,
I'm not making it specifically about Trump.
You don't need
they
to.
Are though.
That's the thing
because
about this. It's
Trump's,
not a, yes.
Trump spoke last night. I'll have Jeff Bartos on right at 10 o'clock, who was there last night in D.C.
Yeah.
But here's a former President Trump with this major rally in D.C. With the Jewish community, if you will. And even one of the hostages from October 7th came up. A young man came up on stage. He was able to survive and escape. And they rescued him. And so it was this incredible rally. And the headline this morning is that a Trump, you know, somebody who Trump endorsed, who, you know, is like a black Nazi. And this as Trump was speaking to Jews in D.C. So that's how the media is portraying this.
855-839-1210.
Yeah, it's look, he's a, for the state, just taking a step back and looking at this politically, for the state of North Carolina, for Trump, this Robinson guy has been an albatross around the RNC's neck for a long time. And if Trump loses North Carolina, it's because of this guy.
If Trump loses North Carolina, he's losing the election.
He's a bad candidate who's not going to win the state. So, you know, will that affect the top of the ticket? I don't know. You know what I mean? I find it hard that it wouldn't.
Stop affiliating yourself with these people that have such a toxic reputation.
But to be fair, this just came out about the freaky deaky stuff that he and if you look at it, okay, either it's AI and Robinson's telling the truth.
Yep.
But I will tell you, CNN had to run this through their attorneys.
Yeah.
Because
this
would be a massive lawsuit.
Absolutely.
If it's AI or it's made up, they're getting sued. And the fact that he's not talking about a lawsuit is also interesting to me. The fact that he did not directly address, he didn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, well, I can tell you there's AI. I can tell you that he never says, he never answers directly.
Right.
And that is, to me, if somebody accused me of that and said that,
yeah,
I would say, this is false. That's not me. You know, yep, what I mean? I would have answered it differently. Yep. So I think there's some truth to it.
Yeah.
And so, but he needed to resign to get another ballot, you know, to get a chance, to Greg's point, to even have a chance to have the governor of North Carolina, you know, go Republican. They needed him to resign before midnight last
yep.
night.
Yep.
And they
yep.
didn't get that.
So according to the, I know we have to break, but just according to the YouTube chat, everybody seems to be in like, oh, this is not that big of a deal.
It's right. a big deal.
Right. It's never a big deal when it's a Republican or it's a Trump-supported guy. No, of course not.
I just feel like, you know, everybody praised K-File yeah. when it did Oppo research and dug up dirt on Kamala Harris.
Well, it's
Harris.
The selective acknowledgement of polls. When it's a positive poll for Trump, it's Trump in a landslide. When Trump's down 2 points, it's, that poll's fake.
Carl writes, so what? Has everybody led a perfect life in every way? There before the grace of God go I. Let's do a deep dive on Mr. Perfect, who is asking questions, and why now? All right, dude. Like, yeah, everybody has skeletons in their closet, I guess. But, like, are you on transvestite porn websites? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, look, to each his own, whatever you're into, cool. Yeah. But, like,
well, these are the same people that think Laura Loomer is actually a net positive addition for Trump.
Well, I'm glad you, because in five minutes.
I got no problem saying it.
In 5 minutes.
I'd fire her ass so quick, her head would be spinning until Tuesday.
I will have South Jersey's own Kellyanne Conway, who commented on Laura Loomer. I will have that for you in 5 minutes.
All right. Cut sheet is coming up on the other side. And that's all right. I can take it. I got thick skin. YouTube chatters, come fire. just remember when you come swinging at the king, just don't miss. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
back after this.
Oh my God.
So this weekend, this Sunday, first day of fall, if you can believe it, summer over. Everybody's back on the roads, back to school, back to work, going from place to place. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. You know, you've been looking at it. You earned it. Now go get it with a little help from my friends at Piazza. You know, they have thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles from brands such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo. These are beautiful, powerful vehicles, so sleek. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can always stop by one of their Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers. PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Friday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy a back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for $369 per month. Down payment, registration fees and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for sponsoring the Friday edition. Always the best edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Okay, I mentioned this earlier. Kellyanne Conway, South Jersey's own Kellyanne Conway. Dawn and I know her.
Yes.
We've been in her presence. She's been in our studios.
Very lovely.
She did an interview with Tim Alberta from, I think it's Politico. And he asked her about Laura Loomer, mm-hmm. who is a social media provocateur, I guess is what you call her.
Former member of Project Veritas.
And how she seems to be, because she was the first one off the plane when Trump landed in Philadelphia for the debate a couple weeks ago, seems to be advising her and helping her with debate stuff and helping the campaign. She was asked about that by Tim. This is what she said. Cut 10, Phil. And remember, by the way, she advised him in the 2016 campaign that he won. So her words matter to me.
I agree.
At least. Cut 10, Phil, go.
Because I have one more debate question. Why was Laura Loomer on his plane heading to that debate?
I prefer Laura Trump. That would be my favorite Laura to be around him. She's doing a great job at the RNC. I don't know, and I'm not here to criticize his campaign team. I don't do that. What I'm here to say is that I think that any one moment, like our shock absorbers are so thick in this country now for so many reasons. You just mentioned a bunch of them that have only really happened in the last 70 days, 80 days. Tim, I think our shock absorbers are so thick that there's no one moment or incident that people say, aha. And lots of folks, in fairness, have, and people that we both know very well.
Well, you ran a campaign, Kellyanne.
Yeah, but we have, you know what?
Would you have let Laura Loomer on the plane?
No. because people, I don't know her. I don't know that I've ever been in the same room with her. People have shown me what she has said. I'm not a big fan of Twitter. I'm not a big fan of, I just don't live on social media. I'm not willing to live online. I'm willing to live offline with all of you here. It just tastes, looks, smells, and is better.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know this person. I know. So when I learned more about her and what she was saying, including to my 19-year-old daughter, it's unacceptable. And I pushed back on that. And I've had a conversation or two with the president since that I won't reveal. And I like what I heard. I will just say that. And I don't really care what she says. I don't care what people screaming on social media say. It doesn't really matter. It matters to me if they're anti this or anti that. And I know that they don't reflect the principle. She wouldn't have been there.
If in fact she doesn't reflect the principle, if we're sure.
If she doesn't. The things I've seen. I don't understand why people feel the need to scream and complain and bellyache online as much as everybody seems to do. And
Kellyanne Conway says, I will not criticize her. Well, I will. That's what I'm paid to do, and I just don't really give any damn. So I am going to criticize Laura Loomer. And I'm going to read you a tweet of hers. And this goes back to Mark Robinson. Stop affiliating yourself with toxic individuals. Donald Trump and his campaign and anybody on that side of the spectrum, they don't need to give the left any more fodder to run with their narratives. And Laura Loomer, again, and Kellyanne lays it out there, I don't live on social media. You know, I Laura Loomer, I'm looking at her profile. She's got 1.3 million followers. Does she do some good work from time to time where she's accurate? Yes. She's a lot like some of these other people, like Alex Jones or these other provocateurs, that they get 1 out of 5 stories right, which I give them credit for. But 80% of the time, they crash and burn looking like idiots. And again, I don't believe that Laura Loomer and these social media influencers that everybody lives and dies by as their source of news, I don't really, especially the ones that make a lot of money, I don't think they really care if Trump wins or not. Trump is a vehicle for them to make a profit. And that's what you have to... They are not going to help your cause at the local level, at a grassroots level, to win a swing state, to win a district, whatever it might be. And when I said last segment that I would jettison Laura Loomer so fast her head would spin until Tuesday, it's tweets like this. I want to read this tweet for you. And I challenge any single person listening that to argue the unbelievable, absurd, gross nature of this tweet and try to come to Laura Loomer's defense. 855-839-12, and I'll let you climb in right now, okay? Uh-huh. You can slide into the chamber, okay?
Oh, boy.
She says, this is Laura Loomer, which, by the way, got flagged on X, which is Elon Musk's platform, for hateful conduct. If Kamala Harris wins, the White House will smell like curry. And White House speeches will be facilitated via a call center, and the American people will only be able to convey their feedback through a customer satisfaction survey at the end of the call that nobody will understand. That is 100% a racist comment.
I mean,
I don't know if she's a racist person, but she made a racist comment. Get rid of her.
If it was a joke, it would be funny. Like, if somebody said that on stage, it would be funny.
I would laugh my ass off at a comedy show.
Yeah.
But not when she is the first person getting off the plane with Donald Trump. And there's all these stories. Is she on the payroll? Is she an employee? The Trump campaign has said no. Laura Loomer has come out and said no. If that's the case, then... And you lost 4 years ago, and you want to win like you did 8 years ago. This is just my personal opinion. I would surround myself with people that helped me win, not people that helped me lose. And I know there's like a small contingent of people out there that don't trust Kellyanne Conway. She's very meticulous. She's very smart. She's not toxic. And she was a part of the formula that defeated Hillary Clinton. But if it makes you feel better and in your little safe space on X and Rumble and Truth, and you want the Laura Loomers because she's like Tucker, and then... Good. Have them. And then you can lose. And you can get mad at me and your nuts can get in a vice. I really don't care. I'm telling you the truth. If I guarantee you, and I don't know how many people, if Laura Loomer walked into a coffee shop, nobody would know who she is. She's a social media person. She's known in one little circle on one platform. Outside of that, in the real world, nobody knows who she is. But I guarantee you, if everybody consumed her content, she would have a major negative favorability score. But if you want that, knock yourself out. Because I know we live on X, and you know we got the Benny Johnsons of the world, and you know we all just live with the same 13 people that fill up our ecosphere with this. You know what? And honestly, they're no different than Democrats. They're all sharing the same talking points, right? Take your top 15 conservative social media influencers when a story breaks. It's almost verbatim. So in that regard, it's no different than the left. It's just the side that you agree with, and that makes you feel good. It makes me feel good, too. I'm complicit as well. Stalkers yelled at me on the air for retweeting things that might not be true. I fall for it as well. But when it's so obvious with like people like Laura Loomer, get rid of them. I know Sean Farish loves Laura Loomer. I'm going to ask Sean point blank. What does she offer? I'm going to ask Sean in 29 minutes. What does she bring you for a bottom line standpoint? Other than the fact that you get to retweet her and say, ha ha, gotcha. Okay. All right.
I think Trump has tried to, he's already been asked about it, and he seems like he distanced himself. He said, look, I don't speak for her. And yes, yeah, she was on, you know, she was along with the group of the campaign, but you could already tell that it seems like he's distancing.
Which is so odd because he's really figured out this time around how to reach young people with social media. He's doing the Logan Paul podcast. Mm-hmm. He's doing the Theo Von podcast. He's gone down the road of finding where the utes go for information and content. And I don't care for Logan Paul or Theo Von. I don't listen to their podcast. But man, that's a super smart move. And for every two or three things that he does that's really smart, he does something like this with Laura Loomer. God, why don't you just drop a grenade in your own shorts? And let CNN pull the clip while they're at it.
By the way, Chevy Mike on the YouTube chat says he would rather have Loomer than Kellyanne Conway any day.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go, Mike.
I just think the bottom line on all of this is that, you know, we're down to the wire here. And so this requires laser focus.
Yep.
And so, you know, great. Okay. He did the social media influencers. He did that little tour. And now it's time to, you know, get down to the nitty gritty and campaign and not have any mistakes. And yeah. So, you know, she doesn't, I don't think that she's campaigning with him anymore. I think that little phase is over. And so I think they've distanced themselves a little bit.
I don't know about that. Okay. Okay.
Without trashing her, obviously, but just, you know.
By the way, for all the people saying they would rather have Laura Loomer than Kellyanne Conway.
Is that the consensus in the YouTube chat? Because I don't look at the YouTube chat.
No. For all the people saying that, though, like how many elections has Laura Loomer won? Zero. How many could she potentially lose for Trump? One. How many has Kellyanne Conway won for Trump? One. So, like, the proof is in the pudding.
But, Greg, she gets 80,000 likes on a post. I know. That means she's an influencer.
Boy, it is. Kellyanne Conway, for whatever she's doing with the Trump campaign, she needs to be doing more of it.
She got 27,000 retweets because she ratioed some lib. Okay. Yeah, too bad elections aren't determined on X.
Yeah, I think there's an issue with her. She's advising, Dawn, I don't want to say something that's not true. She's advising some Ukraine company or something like that. Is that true?
Kellyanne Conway.
Yes.
Yeah, she registered as, what is it, the FARA. This is the thing that Banyan got in trouble with and went to jail for, because you have to register if you're representing a foreign entity. And so, and that's actually one of the things Hunter got a pass on, allegedly, because remember, Hunter worked and represented these foreign entities and did not register. But in any event, Kellyanne properly registered, and she's working for an oligarch in Ukraine there. And it's a nonprofit, but mm-hmm. she is working for an oligarch in Ukraine. And so many have said, well, she can't be in a fit. You know, she's making a ton of money, by the way, but she can't officially represent Trump. If she would have to drop that person if she were to jump back on the campaign, which some insiders have pushed to bring Kellyanne back.
So some people are pushing back to saying, well, she's married to George Conway.
No, she's not. They're divorced.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Because he's that little toad.
Yeah.
I hate toads, by the way.
He is such a toad with the Lincoln pedophile project and that whole thing.
Last comment for me on this. I'll just say this. Linda Kearns greater than Laura Loomer.
So 100%.
So for all of you out there that think Laura Loomer is an asset, Linda Kearns is doing far more important work that will actually have a tangible result than some donkey on X.
I'm not saying, look, I think Trump was wise in not, you know, not trashing Laura Loomer, but what he said was, hey, you know, we have a lot of people come in and come out and this and that. He did, so he didn't trash or anything, but he's distant. You can tell he's distancing himself, and I think that they're moving on. They have to move forward. And so she served a great purpose. She's a great supporter. Leave that alone. The news cycles go on. Just leave it alone. Let it go.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, Kamala Harris did an interview with Oprah.
Oh my God.
In Detroit.
Oh, this was.
It was basically like they brought out all the stars: Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, Chris Rock.
Did you see around the backdrop of the actual live studio audience? They had the virtual cameras where remember when professional wrestling had no crowds during the pandemic?
Yep.
And they put up all the LED TVs and you could watch it virtually.
I did not notice that.
that was a COVID lockdown measure that they used last night in 2024.
Truth be told, I watched it at 5:30 this morning, so I didn't. You know, I just watched clips at 5:30 this morning. I didn't watch the whole thing. Oprah going all in, by the way. Oprah going all in on her gal Kamala. Let's start with what Oprah said. Phil, I just sent this to you. This is cut 25 about voting and decency and really making her pitch for Kamala Harris. This is Oprah, America's sweetheart. Oprah, cut 25. Phil, go.
I want to say thank you, Madam Vice President. I also want to say thank you, Joe Taker. Who started the gatherings on Zoom and all of the grassroots. Now, each of you listening tonight, you become your own grassroots organization to go forward and do something, coming together for the largest Zoom call we've all ever had. Thank you so much. I just want to say, for all of you watching,
I see this now.
Who are still on the fence,
uh-oh,
you're in the middle, you're independent as I am, or whether you're just still don't know what you're going to do. This is the moment for all decent people.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
All caring people who want the best for yourself and you want the best for other people. This is the moment for people who are tired of all of the bickering and all of the name calling, people who are exhausted by the craziness and the made up stories and the conspiracies. This is the moment. You want to get on with your life because you know that we can do better and that we deserve better. You know this. I know you know this. I know you feel this. I know this is what you're saying amongst yourselves. It's in all the conversations that we're having, that you're having. And we're better than this. We're better. We're better. And we want to create a world where our children will be safe in school again.
Yeah. She has the vice president on stage with her, and she is, like, she's commanding the stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's like, step aside, lady. I'm here and I'm going to tell you because you can't make the case for yourself.
Man, never forget back in 1988 when Trump was on the Oprah show, she asked him if he would one day run for president. Never forget when Oprah penned that letter to Donald Trump saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, the two of us, could you imagine us on a ticket? We would be great. You know, Trump and Oprah were like this. Yeah. And then Trump goes R and now. So you talk about returning to civility and the name calling. Oh, I'm sorry, Oprah, name calling like calling another man Hitler, that's never harmed one single Jew in his life, or calling a man a threat to democracy, and you know, protecting Americans, as she talked about there. Oh, you mean the same lady that's next to you that let 15 million plus illegal immigrants come into the country and harm women and children with fentanyl and rape and assault? So it is so, it honestly, like, honestly, God, what I do right now for a living, this is not difficult stuff. You just take what they do and what they say, and you flip it right back on them. And anybody that's paid attention to anything the last 4 years could just totally, if this was a debate between Oprah and I would eviscerate her in 9 seconds. It'd be over. It's a wrap. Ring the bell. Throw in the towel, Mick. I mean, they didn't, and then she doesn't even let Kamala speak. And you hear
Are you
Kamala,
calling me a Mick?
she hears Kamala. She goes, yeah. Like seriously? Oprah? By the way, I mean, we got more. Do you think Oprah carries, because we've seen Hillary out there, right? And I'm like, I don't think Hillary's really doing much to help Kamala. Do we think Oprah still has the weight she had even 10 years ago?
Well, she has weight, but by the way, Peter M. brings up a good question. Was Oprah a freak-off participant?
Great question.
You know, she was a buddy with P. Diddy. Yeah.
There's no.
She was a boy. Yeah, I know there's no evidence. I know there's no evidence, but, you know, one can speak. One can talk, right? Sorry, Dawn.
I think the most compelling part of this, and this is the part that the networks are focusing on.
Boy, that would be a freak-off.
Stop.
Sorry. With a capital F.
It's a sin. God.
It is.
So I think that the most compelling part of this was they had the family members of a woman who died after she went to the hospital and they needed to perform a procedure on her and couldn't in a state with tough abortion laws or whatever.
Oh.
And the woman, once they did the C-section, it was 20 hours later, she actually died.
Oh.
And so it's like there was not a dry eye. Everybody's crying and they're talking about abortion law and that. So to me, the big takeaway of this and what I think will have some residual effect is that Oprah with this family and the family, look, you're very sympathetic to the family. It's heart wrenching. And so that I think will have, will resonate with people. That's what's going viral.
And you had to expect that, right? On that stage, on that platform, with that audience, with Oprah, with Kamala, that plays right. I mean, I would have assumed, and I didn't watch all of it, but I would assume that was probably right off the top or very early, or did they do that later on? I don't know.
By the way, talk about, like, you know, the company you keep. I mean, she was buddies with Harvey Weinstein. She was buddies with P. Diddy.
I mean,
just stop with
all the freaks.
With the virtue signaling.
Yes.
It's like, oh, decency. Like, look at the people you surround yourself with, sweetie. Yeah.
Well, she didn't. Oprah never surrounded herself with P. Diddy.
Well, that's true. And
I mean, everybody sucked up to her. Everybody wanted to go on her show. But I don't know that she surrounded herself.
Whether it's Oprah or it's Trump, whether it's Republican or Democrat, when you're at the top of the food chain and you're around a lot of these celebrities, just because you have been seen with P. And again, like, I mean, if there was a picture of Trump and Jeffrey Epstein together, doesn't mean that Trump knew about X. It doesn't mean Trump went to the island. Same thing with Oprah or Kamala Harris. Yeah, just because they were together in one social set. I mean, how many times have we been in our lives around somebody that probably has some skeletons in their closet that we are not privy to or don't know? Doesn't make you guilty or in on it.
So a lot of celebrities zoomed in. I guess they couldn't be bothered to be there in person. Let's start with Meryl Streep. This is cut 23. Phil, Meryl Streep, go.
Hello, President Harris.
Not yet.
Yeah! Woo!
I feel like I'm watching the Ellen DeGeneres.
47 days,
yes.
All right, so Meryl Streep called in and called her President Harris.
I believe she called in from another country because didn't she claim that if Trump was going to win the presidency, she would leave America?
By the way, I got to say this. All of these celebrity, you know, surrounding, it's not like it doesn't help like the Democrats think it does.
Right.
It actually turns a lot of people off.
Yes.
Because, like, my kids have no...
Correct.
Teenagers or even people in their... Let's say that demographic that's needed.
Yeah.
Those first time voters or even, you know, people in their, let's say, early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
They don't know who Oprah is. She doesn't carry that star power with them.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Right?
Yep.
That ended with my generation.
And they don't even know who Meryl Streep is.
Correct. 18 to 29 year olds have no idea.
Yeah.
Who
they're
Meryl
like,
Streep
look at these, all these old women getting together. So I think the only thing that they can put viral that resonates in that entire thing is that story of that poor family And by the way, Trump has said that in situations like that, he would support whatever a doctor has to do in those dire moments when the lady's baby was not going to make it and the lady's life was in danger. Trump has been, he has emphatically said yes in those emergency moments. You know, doctors need to save the mother. They knew they already lost the baby. So he's been very clear on that and said that he stands with Reagan. But that moment, I think that's the only moment I see that can resonate on social media.
Julia Roberts also there. By the way, 1990 called, and yes, that was the last.
They want their Academy Award winner.
That's the last time Julia Roberts had a hit.
Yeah.
She also called in. By the way, they all Zoomed in. Nobody could bother being there. Yeah,
probably didn't want to get COVID.
So this was in Michigan.
Cut 24, Phil. Julia Roberts, go.
But this has become such a global representation of our country and what we stand for. And I get to travel internationally a lot. Mm-hmm. And I want people to say, oh, you're American? And not, oh, how's it going over there? You know?
Yes.
So replace Biden.
To that space.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, last time I checked, the bigger laughing stock was when Joe was in office, not Trump.
By the way, if you're looking on, I'm sorry, Nick. If you're looking on YouTube, Julia Roberts has the Jeffrey Dahmer glasses on.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Right, that is an odd look.
Sorry.
You know, it's always fascinating to me when the Hollywood elites come out and, you know, stump for the Democrat. One, it doesn't create any blowback for their bottom line at the box office, as opposed to if they were stumping for a Republican. And two, ultimately, at the end of the day, if you ask them off the record, is your bottom line impacted by Trump or Biden? When you make $35 million a year, you probably haven't flinched.
Bryan Cranston is the only one. I mean, Chris Rock as well. I would say Bryan Cranston and Chris Rock were the only ones who zoomed in who I would say have relevance where younger people know who they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to this in a second. I just wanted to, because we're playing a lot of the Hollywood elites and Oprah and everybody, you know, I actually want to play a clip. This is clip 14, Phil. I actually want to play a clip from an actual Michigan voter. You know, forget Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, and all these paid shills. Exactly. Thank you, Nick Hale. So what do Michigan voters are actually saying? This is cut 14, Phil, go.
Tommy, how are you feeling about the election? Who are you going to vote for and why?
I'm going to vote for Donald Trump this year. I am typically a Democrat. I've voted Democrat every year until Donald Trump ran for office. This year and in the past, I voted for Donald Trump. The reasons has been economical primarily. 3.5 years ago, I made more money. I paid less taxes. Gas prices were cheaper. Now, everything has tripled, including grocery prices. I can go to Subway to get a $7 sandwich for six inches now. That used to be half that price, $3.
$5
double. My grocery prices double. I'm concerned about the border. We've let millions of people in. A lot of criminals, etc. The border needs to be shut down to where we only bring in those individuals that go through a legal process. And when Democrats were running for office like they're proposing now, they have this proposal of new homeowners getting a stipend of money to buy a house. Well, nothing is free. That means that if we give out more money, my taxes are going to go up to pay for those new owners.
All right.
So I'm going to live
a lot of issues
with a lot of less money every year just because they're giving it away to other people.
Okay, so a lot of
there you go. Economy, borders, and wars. I keep hammering it home. Now, that's a classic case of don't judge a book by its cover. Guy's got a hat on, says Second Amendment, God, guns, and guts. But if you listen to him, lifelong Democrat who's going to be voting for Trump because the $5 footlong is no longer the $5 footlong at Subway, right? Yeah, it's like $8 for the $5 footlong. Bidenomics.
All right, I.
By the way, did you see at the bottom of the scroll on BBC News for that clip? It said Lebanon bans pagers and walkie-talkies for flights out of Beirut.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine?
By the way, this is so. Let's go back to Kamala in Detroit with Oprah, shall we? I dare anybody to understand or to explain to us what Kamala Harris is saying in this quote. This is cut 21, Phil. The question is, what is on your heart to say to the American people?
Okay, seems like a very entry-level question that you could ask a sixth grader, you know, in a school assembly.
Cut 21, Phil, go.
What is on your heart to say to the American people as we have 47 days until November 5th? What's on your heart? To say to particularly those people who are still undecided or maybe indifferent or on the fence still.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. We are an optimistic people.
Yeah, boy.
Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be.
Unburdened.
And we believe in fighting for that.
Mm.
That's how we came into being, because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be.
Freedom.
And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
I guess the best response I could give to that word salad is this.
Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch. You're going to vote for Trump today, Harry.
Okay. You're not going to vote for Kamala today, Harry. All right. I mean, seriously, it's a couple of things here. She has this look on her face early on in that clip where it's almost like she's trying to visually remember the rehearsed lines that
yes.
she was looking over on the note cards. And then once she finds it and she does kind of, not that hitting her stride and hitting her groove is competent or adequate or answering the question, but by her standards, once she gets going, then the hands start to come out. And then you really start to hear the cliches that make no sense at all. It is, I'll tell you what, for somebody who is only asked, because apparently that's her strength, is to memorize things, she's not great at memorization. I mean, that is a basic question. You don't need to memorize anything. And that's the thing I like about Trump. Trump has his talking points. Trump has his prompter. You know, there are certain things, you know, when he talks about invasions, he's got certain words that he kind of uses that are in his wheelhouse. But it shouldn't take her at 60 years old, 5 minutes to get through a question that you should be able to just like, she never riffs. Do you think she could do the cut sheet? Do you think she could actually come here and comment on a litany of clips?
Wait, Nick Hale welcoming in
yes.
Vice President Kamala Harris.
I would love that.
We
Thank
could
you.
Do the Kamala cut sheet one day.
I love that.
Bring her in and let her riff, and I guarantee you it will be an unmitigated disaster.
I would love
because
that.
Because it's not rehearsed.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
I'm sorry, John, if you had anything
yes,
to add
please.
To this.
No, that was brilliant. I think that she, that whole thing, first, you know what it reminds me of? Those days when, you know, maybe I had a moment with my girlfriends and we've had a few too many glasses of wine and they're like, I love you, girl, and to me. And like yeah. the way she's speaking is almost like she's to me, she's had a couple of glasses of wine and you're sort of very relaxed and you're a little bit liquored up and you want to be and I love you. You know what I mean? That's this is not a high energy. I am the Vice President of the United States of America. Here's my plan. Here's why I want you to hire me as president. There's nothing there. What did she just
you know what
did she say?
You know what would actually really benefit her is her to have an unscripted, heated meltdown where she just goes after somebody, like a reporter, an unhinged rant against a Republican, just something to show that she's not like this zombie or this fifth grade teacher that's, you know, reading to 11-year-olds. Like, they got, like, I think there's an image problem with her that is completely legitimate where, to your point, it's like we all speculate. Is she medicated? Did she get high before this? Did she have four glasses of Cabernet? Like, what is going on here? Like, she needs to have, like, a Trump bombastic blow-up to show that she's actually a human being with, like, you know, some of the intangibles that sometimes can backfire on you in your life. Like, I've never seen her other than this, like, rehearsed, yep, contrived. It's like, yes, it's like a bad script.
By the way, she was asked, or she said in the debate that she owns a gun, right?
Yes.
She said that both her and Tim Walz
repeatedly said that
own guns. Can you play cut 22, Phil?
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that.
But
my staff will deal with that later.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean,
they're getting shot because she has Secret Service protection. Yeah. If somebody breaks in her house, yes, they're going to get shot because of Secret Service protection, not because of her. First of all, she doesn't own a gun. That's a complete lie.
She has repeatedly claimed that she's a gun owner.
I don't know, man. I could see. I mean, Democrats are typical hypocrites where they say they're against this, but they have that, right? Masks for thee, but not for me. So I could totally see her owning a firearm. The bigger question is, does she know how to use it? My guess is she probably couldn't even figure out how to unlock the safety.
I think this is a great poll question. Phil, if you can put out this poll question. Does Kamala Harris own a gun? Yes or no. Yes, she's a hypocrite, or no, she doesn't know how to fire a gun.
Right, because this is a lady that has said repeatedly that, you know, we need to have mandatory buybacks, yeah, and she's coming for your guns. So in that regard, for hypocrisy, yeah. So she wants to take your guns, but oh, damn sure I got a gun in my purse.
I want to play this clip before we get to Sean Farish, who was in the On Deck circle, or should I say Donald Trump? Sean Farish and Donald Trump,
yeah,
in the On Deck
circle. Both of them simultaneously.
So this, I think this was CNN that did an interview with one of the flotilla, you know, the Trump flotillas. He's shirtless, holding a beer. They thought that they were going to get a rube.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they asked him about inflation, like, hey, you're clearly rich.
This is one of the Trump boating sessions.
Yes, you own a boat. How come? Why do you care about inflation? And he actually gives a really good answer. This is actually, I have to play this because he actually curses on TV, which is funny into itself. All right, Phil, let's do cut 8, my friend. Go.
What's your most important issue?
The economy. Getting the interest rates down. Getting it what we can afford to live in America. Right now, it's too expensive.
Okay, now, let me maybe ask like a slightly impolite question. But, you know, if you can afford a boat, you're not hurting so bad, right? Because a boat costs a lot of money and it's a lot of upkeep.
Listen, nobody gave me I earned everything that I've got.
Hell yeah, brother.
I'm retired military, retired power plant, and I am successful and retired and with boats, jet skis, because I did it right. And everybody has that chance. Whether they choose or not, that's up to them.
There you go.
I would never try to take anything away from you in that way. But what I'm asking is, groceries are probably a smaller part of your budget than, say, you know, someone who's like a little worse off.
So?
I think it's interesting that people who are a little bit more comfortable are still so concerned about the economy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because I want my money to go further. I want inflation to go down. I want interest rates to go back down. I want all that. But that covers everybody in the economy. Not just me, not just the poor, not just the rich. It covers everybody.
Now, something I've heard from some people, tell me if this applies to you, is like they're worried their kids aren't able to afford a house or a car. Well,
I train my kids and taught my kids properly. They have great educations. And they're both successful in their careers. Actually, they're doing better than me.
Oh, man.
So they should give a little of their money back as well, according to the CNN socialist.
I got to say, this guy, life goals.
Yeah.
Hanging out on his boat.
Yeah.
In the sun.
Yeah.
With a beer.
Yeah.
Like, what is the...
Well, you own a pontoon, sir. I don't think inflation has hurt you. Which, by the way, I mean, you can get a pontoon boat for 25, 30 grand. It's no different than buying a low-end car. Yeah. It doesn't make you rich because you have a pontoon on a lake. She act like he had a yacht. Jeez. These people, man. Well, we should let's redistribute the wealth so everybody gets a little bit.
I just love that CNN went up to him because they thought that they were going to catch a rube. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know nothing about no inflation. I just like Donald Trump because he says pretty words. That's what they were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's because they still, after 8 years, do not have a great idea about what MAGA Republicans are. Oh, they're hostile. Oh, they're the... And then you...
Yep.
See, here's the thing. Get out in the real world and actually converse with human beings, yep. and you'll find out that usually it's not true.
I want to play one more clip before we get to Sean. This is Cut 12, Phil. But first, I want to say this, that we have the does Kamala Harris own a gun is the poll question right now in the YouTube chat. Right now, very early, it was only put up 3 minutes ago, excuse me. No, at 55%.
That's pretty close.
People think, like me, that it's that she's actually just lying, that she doesn't own a gun.
Okay, so 55-45, no.
Yes, 57-43 right now. So go vote, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Yes. EKZ writes, please, more Sean, less Greg. Okay,
Sean's coming up.
Sean will be here in 5 minutes.
You get your fix.
EKZ. He loves me. He loves me.
Marcus Aurelius says Kamala owns a gun-shaped cigarette lighter for lighting her joints.
We still have a lot more, too. I want to get to Nancy Mace and Michael Eric Dyson because I think that is hysterical.
Oh, she brought out the receipts.
Yeah. And then he tried to defend himself, but he really didn't. We'll get to that before the end of the show. All right. This is Cut 12. Hillary Clinton is on her book tour. She was asked about her marriage to Bill Clinton.
Oh, boy.
And this response is amazing. Cut 12. Phil, go.
Nobody really knows what happens in a marriage except the two people in it.
Oh, boy.
And every true. Marriage I'm aware of has ups and downs.
Mm.
Not public, hopefully, for everyone else. And you have to make the decisions that are right for you. And I would never tell anybody else, stay in a marriage, leave a marriage, whatever the easy answer is. And, you know, for me and for us, I think it's fair to say we are so grateful that at this stage of our life, we have our grandchildren, we have our time together. You know, I write about how we start the morning playing spelling bee in bed, and, you know, Bill is like such a great player. He gets to Queen Bee almost immediately, it feels like.
Spelling bee in bed.
We just have a good time. We have a good time sharing this life that we've lived together for now nearly 50 years of marriage. That's what is right for us.
Yeah.
And that's really my message.
Yeah, they have a great time, guys, and they play spelling bee in bed.
Well, and if you can't figure out how to spell the word, you can
just look up the Google.
It's Hillary.
All right, so Don, let me
sound this out.
I'm gonna put I'm gonna put all of you, Greg, on the spot. It's a Saturday morning.
Mm.
Kids are still asleep.
Mm.
It's 7:30. No. You didn't have to get up at 4:15 with the alarm of Kalen Company. And you and your spouse are just laying there together in bed. You guys ever played a spelling bee?
Never.
It's kind of weird, right? I think weird's the word they use these days. Weird,
yeah,
right?
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Greg, you ever do a spelling bee with the wife in the bed?
No, I'm like, wait, how many minutes do we have?
Do it twice.
Well, I mean, you know, they have a great time together, guys. I love any answer, any question about her marriage to Bill is definitely getting on the cut sheet.
See, my question would have been to her.
Yeah.
All right, Hillary, you can only kill one of two men, Bill or Trump.
I love this.
Who would you kill?
It's a great question.
I think it would be 50-50 if we pulled it right now on YouTube, but it would probably get us flagged, so we won't do it.
I wonder if former President Trump has any thoughts on Bill and Hillary playing spelling bees in bed.
That's right. The president's coming up.
Get up, Harry. Come on. Let's go.
Oh, we're going to go. Donald Trump joins us next here on Kale and Company.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Mr. President, good to have you back on the program, sir.
Well, I have to say this. We're very happy to be here. And my good friend Woody Johnson, I don't know why they named him that. That's a very strange name. But my good friend Woody Johnson and his New York Jets actually won a game yesterday. And they won two games in the last 5 days. I don't know what the hell is happening. But we're very happy about that. Woody is very, very happy about that. And I'm still, the word of the day, flummoxed over what the hell we saw on the interview with Kamala Harris and Oprah. And a lot of people are saying it. This is what I'm hearing. It's the first time Oprah has ever been that close to a salad before. Lots of salads. It was really something special to watch that. And really something special, I can tell you.
You know, Mr. President, I do want to talk about the serious issue that you had to endure on Sunday, but you brought up Oprah, so let's stay there for a moment. Another Hollywood elitist right at the top of the food chain that used to love you. You guys were best friends, and then all of a sudden...
First of all, hold on, excuse me. She's definitely at the top of the food chain. Tell you.
Yes, yes.
That woman is... she eats a lot, I can tell you that. She eats a lot.
And then,
that's the reason why grocery prices are so high. There's no supply, I can tell you. Her and Chris Christie,
the gas giants. You're on her show in the late 80s. You guys were, you know, letters about running together, and eventually you decide to pull the trigger and go for it and run for president. She doesn't, and now she's out there stumping for Kamala, another fraud, just because you put a little R next to your name, sir.
Well, you keep lobbing me softballs. She's never run a day in her life, okay? You look at it, but, you know, you look at these the interview last night, and you saw Kamala Harris. Somebody asked her, what are you going to do to limit the cost or lower the cost of living? And she said, well, we have dreams and we have aspirations, and we have a right to have dreams and rightfully dream about having rights and so many rights, and we want to make a right on red from the right lane. It's an incredible thing. In a school bus, too. You can make a right on red in a school bus because we have the right to rightfully dream about the rights that we rightfully have. This is what she said yesterday. And we heard the highly respected Dawn. She said, what the hell is she saying? Nobody knows what the hell she's saying. So you look at Oprah, who you said, not me. I didn't say that. Top of the food chain. I didn't say that. You said that. I call her Jabba the Hutt. And you have it. You have her on there. What a terrible interview. And I don't think she realizes this, Oprah, but she was the iceberg who sank the Titanic last night. And she might have actually sank the real Titanic. She turned it into a submarine. But you look at it, that interview was a complete and total disaster. And everybody ought to be looking at it and scratching their heads like nobody's ever scratched their heads before. Like Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project. He has a dandruff problem. He scratches his head like nobody's ever seen. But nobody has ever seen something worse than what cackling comrade Kamala did last night. That much I can tell you.
I'm sure you don't want to relive it, but your thoughts on what exactly transpired Sunday in Florida on what was supposed to be just another routine day of golf for you on your property?
Well, nobody's talking about this, but I was the first person to see the guy, and I said, sir, give me my 3-wood. I'm going to take him out. They said, sir, this is a long hole. It's a par 5. You're going to make it with a 3-wood. I said, first of all, I could hit the 3-wood longer than anybody's ever hit a 3-wood before. But then I realized the would-be assassin, who for some strange reason, what a stupid person, was wearing a salmon shirt. I would never have done that. If I was trying to take somebody out, I would never wear salmon because you could see that. And that's how I saw him. I saw that he was in the trees, and I'm such a great golfer, I can't hit the ball in the trees. So I told the Secret Service, go get that guy, and they got him. And we shouldn't be dealing with things like that. But this guy is such a whack job. You know, he tried to fight for Ukraine, and he went over there, and they said, no, thank you. You're too crazy. We don't want you. And so he came and tried to take me out, which is a terrible thing to do. And it's because these crazy, evil people, they keep calling me threat to democracy. They keep calling me all these terrible things. And quite frankly, it's leading to people who are trying to do horrible things to me. Hopefully it's the last time, but I don't think it's going to be.
You know, it's amazing. You never seem to let this get to you. Within 48 hours, you're in New York. You have a rally in Long Island. You're at a Bitcoin bar. You provide a nice, beautiful surprise to a special needs youngster. What is it about New York that kind of gets your blood going and you get energized? Because it does feel like there's a little extra boost to your game when you're in New York, specifically at a Bitcoin bar.
Well, we love Bitcoin, first of all. We love Bitcoin, and we know the founder of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto. He's a great guy. I actually started Bitcoin with him. I called him Tosh. I said, Tosh, we have to have a Bitcoin. We have to do it, and it's going to be great. He said, what a tremendous idea. I said, you didn't hear that from me. When I run for president, they're going to have a big problem with it. But that's why Bitcoin's color is orange, okay? Because I helped make it with Satoshi Nakamoto. He's a tremendous guy. But we went to a Bitcoin bar. We bought a big, beautiful Bitcoin burger, and it was incredible. But when we come to New York, we love New York. I built the city with my own two hands, and when I left, it went to hell. Remember that. When I was there, it was a great place. The minute I left, Big Bird, you know, de Blasio and the rest of these people, Kathy Hochul, I call her the buck-toothed bandit. You see that? She has a huge problem, and she's from Buffalo. And anybody who's from that area, they call it Western New York, Buffalo. If you're part of they call it Bill's Mafia. These people are born sideways. They're born sideways. They have a lot of problems. You're supposed to come out north-south. They come out east-west. It's not supposed to happen, but this is what happens with these people from Buffalo.
Oh, God.
And Kathy Hochul, Eric Adams, de Blasio. I left. The state went to hell. I came back. It was great for a day. I left. It went back to hell. So we love New York. And we love Harry, by the way, that fat guy. He's a fat slob. We got to get him out to vote. We got to get him out to vote. And we're going to get him out to vote. Even if we have to lift his big, beautiful behind off the couch with a crane, we're going to get him out to vote.
You know, Mr. President, I was going to ask you about who the hell Harry is. And maybe the audience is probably trying to figure out, what are they talking about? Phil, if we could play this, and then, Mr. President, I'd like to get your explanation as to who exactly Harry is. This was you at your Long Island, New York rally just a few nights ago. Phil, if we could play this clip, please.
We can do all of this and more, but patriotic New Yorkers must get your asses out to vote. Gotta get up. Gotta get up. Harry, get up, Harry. Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch. You're going to vote for Trump today, Harry. Get up, Harry. Come on, let's go. Let's go, Harry.
So, Mr. President, care to explain who Harry is?
Well, there's a lot of Harrys out there. First of all, I got along very well with Harry Potter. He's a great guy, wonderful wizard. Hogwarts, it's a beautiful place. I knew Dumbledore very well, by the way. And he's a tremendous guy, too. But Harry is a friend. He's a longtime friend. I've known him for a long time. And the minute I left New York, he started eating. So he has the fat ass, as we said. Not to be confused, by the way, with Harry Sisson, who has, well, other problems with his ass. You're not going to go there.
Mr. President, no.
We're not going to go there. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We would never say something like that. You know, we could just say a questionable lifestyle. We could just say that. And a possible risk of, they call it monkeypox.
We're not going to talk about it.
So we love Harry in New York. He's a great guy. I've known him for a long time. He put on a lot of weight because he decided when I left, it was time to eat everything in sight. But he's going to get out and vote. He's so big. You know, we said he has a big, beautiful behind. His vote counts for two votes. So we're going to get him out, and we're going to make sure that he votes for us. We love Harry. He's a tremendous person.
Speaking of big asses, you know, Lizzo is.
But now we're going to talk about Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. You got. So who's the election denier in Georgia? I'm drawing a blank.
Stacey Abrams, the beast of the southeast.
Yes. We call her the beast of the southeast.
You know, Lizzo's got a big keister, yeah. But your beautiful wife Melania does not. Melania's got, some would say, the perfect keister. So I need to get your thoughts on this, Mr. President, and I don't mean mean to pry into her past life, but this has become a story. She's had to defend herself, and I think she's had every right to do so. So your wife, Melania, defends herself over her nude modeling career. Yet I feel like there's this double standard with liberal women who are always talking about body positivity and no fat shaming. So it's okay for Lizzo to get out on stage with almost no clothes, but for some reason, your wife gets attacked for doing that. Isn't that the peak definition of hypocrisy, sir?
It's absolutely hypocrisy. You know, Melania is, we call her hot, hot, hot. Nobody's ever seen anything hotter than that. And, you know, I could just tell you she's a tremendous person. And they're saying horrible things about her. And she had a great career. And it was all perfect. She's a perfect person. And then you look at the way Kamala got her career started. And we don't have to talk about it, but... we call it overnight under the covers, and Willie Brown will tell you all about it too. The original Hawk Tour girl. That's
right.
What we say.
That's not right.
But you look at it and you have Melania, and she did a tremendous job in her career. You have Lizzo up there jiggling like a vat of jello on a stage. It's unbelievable. Nobody's ever seen anything worse. Nobody's ever seen anything worse. And we have a problem with Melania. We don't have a problem with Lizzo. Lizzo has a problem with Lizzo. She's been in the gym. She's been working out. Good for her. Make America healthy again. She's voting Trump. Lizzo is voting Trump. She's going to MAHA. Make America healthy. We love Bobby Kennedy. We love Bobby. Nicole Shanahan. These are healthy people. Lizzo is an unhealthy person. Yep. Stacey Abrams is an unhealthy person. Man. And let's not forget, Chris Christie is an unhealthy person. This is somebody, by the way, who broke the lap band. This is unbelievable. They would prescribe him the biggest dose of Ozempic. They'd probably run out, and it still wouldn't work. These are horrible people who are coming after Melania. We love Melania. She's a tremendous person. She's a beautiful person. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying about her is disgusting. But we know that she's a great person.
Lastly, Mr. President, you know, we think about your first term. We had unrivaled, unmatched peace in the Middle East. And since October 7th of last year, it's been an unmitigated disaster. This week, Israel comes back with what I think is two of the most badass approaches to fighting terrorism I've ever seen, blowing up pagers and walkie-talkies of Hezbollah terrorists. If you are able to win on November 5th, when you win on November 5th, how quickly can you stabilize things in the Middle East?
We will have it stabilized in 24 hours, just like Ukraine. We'll have it stabilized in 24 hours. We love the beeper bomb. The beeper bomb was incredible. I helped create it. I said, here's what you have to do. This was a few years ago. I said, these people are bad people, and they are stuck in a time, long time ago, like the Stone Age. They still use beepers. Let's make them explode. Let's make them explode like Chris Christie's ass after Taco Bell.
Ew. Taco burrito. He's got something in his Speedo.
Sloppy Chris
something
Christie.
Something crazy. What a beautiful rhyme, by the way. Dawn, what a beautiful rhyme. Yes, and she's up there with William Shakespeare, who I called Bill for a long time. He's a great guy. But you look at it. We made the beeper bomb, and these people would never do anything. That's why they didn't do anything against us. We were out. They thought the beeper bombs were out. We took them out. We did very well. We will solve the Israel-Hamas conflict, just like we solved the conflict in Afghanistan. Remember the phone call we had? Perfect phone call. Abdul, we love Abdul. We said, Abdul, your house is beautiful. Look at this house. We're going to take you out if you're in the house, if you kill our people. He didn't kill our people. We're going to do a great job with Israel and Hamas. We're going to end Hamas. We're going to end Hezbollah. And by the way, these people have, it's been a rumor, intimate relationships with goats. And now I hear because of what happened. Now I hear because of what happened with the beepers, the goats are finally on offense. Not much I can tell you.
There he is. Donald
wow,
J.
just
Trump
firing on all cylinders.
A.K.A. Sean Farish.
By the way, K-Horn on the YouTube chat says Sean is a national treasure.
He is.
I agree with that.
And we will keep the treasure around in his natural form for one more second when we come back, because we got to get his opinion on all of the big stories of the week, and we will do that coming up next. Sean Farish stays with us, 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Buckle up. It's the best hour of the week. And we're back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.